from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is whack.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And he's doing a great job.
I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
They are Steiny and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
Oh, Goo, we got something brewing. We got something going.
And it's not coffee.
No, it is not. Well, although I had about 4 cups this morning. I'm telling you, I'm so overly caffeinated.
Look at you.
And it's not just from drinking all the great stuff across the pond. It's just a natural excitement I have to be in this seat rocking with you, man.
Yeah, no doubt. And I cut my caffeine, the Red Bull, and the stomach is happy. Going to the bread basket, going down a little bit.
Even the sugar-free, getting rid of that?
No, I don't. The sugar-free was nasty. Shout out to the rapper. You don't got to get ready if you stay ready. I butchered that. Shout out Shasky. But I'm ready to go, man. We got a trade.
Well, yes, technically.
Who knew?
Who knew? I didn't. I mean, seriously. And this is where we want to start today. Look, we got the MLB trade deadline coming up in about 5 hours. You know, 3 o'clock Pacific Standard, 6 o'clock Eastern time. Will the Giants make a move? That's what we discussed yesterday. And they did, Goo. They did make a move. But I don't think it was one that, number one, anybody saw coming.
Thank you.
Number two, anyone really knows what it means. And that's where I think, you know, if I can call you Inspector Gousseau, I think we want to get to the bottom of this today.
I'm going to bring that to, I love that, Kay, but Gousseau?
Gousseau.
I like that.
Not Gousseau, Gousseau.
But, Evan, I'm just perplexed. Like, I'm not one of these guys, you know this. I don't come in here and do I Know It All Radio, because I'd have been fired a long time ago. But the bottom line is, of the list of guys that could have been moved, the one that chose you, the one that wanted to go out on a date, was Jorge Soler, and he doesn't even make it a year. And the worst part about it is, Evan, you play college baseball. I will say this for Soler, if people want to say they didn't use him right by batting leadoff.
D3.
The dude was going to be the first player since Lamar Bonds to hit 30 home runs in a Giant uniform. The plug has been pulled. I thought it was Operation Get In with the wild card, but what bothers me, because I don't like the baseball of operations, the current guy holding the position, Farhan. Not personal. I don't like the job he's done. I think he should have been gone. But, Evan, how can you make a move like this for nothing in return to enhance your immediate path to try to get the wild card and say night-night to a dude you had under your control? I don't understand it. And the worst part, before I throw it to you, is he was actually starting to warm up with the bat. How are they better? They're 4 back now.
They're not better. Like, you subtracted a bat from your lineup that already struggled to produce runs, that struggled to hit home runs, and that struggled to produce extra base hits. That's what Jorge Soler is supposed to be. And though he wasn't hitting home runs this year, since, I think it was June 12th. Yeah, he's got an OPS near or above 800. Man. He's been starting to swing it better, even in the leadoff spot. Exactly. And so he goes, along with Luke Jackson, who's kind of a toss-in. The trade is to the Atlanta Braves. And the Giants did not send any money with either of those two players, which we can get into in a moment. But they return a number 17 prospect from the Braves system, third baseman, corner infielder, whatever you make of it, and Tyler Matzek, who's a pitcher.
It's a salary
dump.
Yeah.
It's a salary dump.
Wow.
They got off of both of those guys' money in order to try and maybe repurpose it. And this is what has me confounded, confused. You use the word perplexed. I think it's perfect because I don't really know what direction it signals. And that was the one thing we talked about ad nauseum yesterday, Goo, was what direction is the rest of this season going to go in? I still don't know. I still don't have an inkling of which direction it's going in. And it's because of the guy who's been at the top of this for the last 6 years, Farhan Zaidi.
Yeah, Evan, that was special. I totally agree. And what bothers me about what I want to have happen with this Giants organization is I want a reset button and I want a new Farhan. But for him to make this move tells me, Evan, he's not all in. Meaning, I'm worried about the books. I'm worried about next year. And that signals to your boy, we're both in black. Yeah. That signals to your boy, he might not be on the hot seat, Evan.
Ebony and ivory.
Yeah.
That Farhan's not on the hot seat.
No. Like, why would he do this move?
That was your interpretation.
No doubt
about
it.
That he feels safe.
First thing, and I've been saying it. I just feel like he's not on the hot seat like a lot of people think. But for you to do this about the books, you might not even be here. And you're going to subtract a bopper who ended up being a rally stopper. But I just came up with that one.
That's a three.
But come on, Evan. I mean, does this? Can you see where I'm coming from?
Yes, I can. But that's why if I'm trying to... and I feel like I've done this dance so many damn times with Farhan, is, okay, let me put on my GM cap. Let me actually figure out why they would do this. And there's just not a lot coming atop of mind.
Man.
Outside of maybe ownership is telling him to get some money off the books for next season. Maybe it helps them with some future flexibility. But it doesn't help you now. You're right. This is a move for next season. Because you get off of some money this year. I think you free about $6 million towards the competitive balance tax. But you still have $10 million to go to get under. And there's some ramifications if you're over it and all the rest that we don't really need to dig into. The point is, they didn't shed money, enough money, to actually tangibly help you this season. It's about next season. And it always has felt like with Farhan and this current regime, it's always been about next season. There's been one year where it's been about this year, 2021. But even then, a Chris Bryant trade, I don't know if it was heralded at the time.
I loved it.
But it was relatively cheap. You didn't have to give up much for it. They didn't go all in my opinion. That was just a value buy. It's always been about next season, next year, looking down the line. Not much has, to me, pushed me towards a feeling like the Giants are about this year. Especially when... I thought it was going to be about this year. I thought it was going to be an all-in offseason.
Because you and I said, stand pat, we would be okay. We understand. And
yes.
The nugget is still out there to try to qualify for the tournament.
That's what confuses me, is at the beginning of this year, this offseason, you spent $200 million. One of those larger investments was the guy you just shipped to Atlanta. And it feels like they've almost pivoted, or is partially pivoted. And we don't really know where it's going.
Oh, man.
And that's why I think most people are listening in today or are reading about this and trying to kind of read the tea leaves. It just feels like, honestly, if this is the last trade that Farhan Zaidi makes as president of baseball operations with the San Francisco Giants, it would be appropriate.
Wow.
Because
Evan,
no one knows what it means.
Man, and I'll tell you what it should mean. A failure. I'm throwing the F word out there. And that's what his tenure has been. We got some sound we're going to play from Farhan when he initially got introduced, Evan. And you'd let it come full circle about, you know, Pops always told me it's about actions, not words. But he played the part in regard to the verbal karate we'll play. It sounded good. But this dude has struck out at every turn. And when I got that news last night after leaving you, I was cool. I thought, you know, I'm a rep Giant fan. Right now, it's 3.5. You do with that what you will. But if you're a dreamer, there's 54 games left. You got action. And to get rid of your version, your bopper, for basically nothing that can help you for the immediate. And what did our own and our friend, former Giant FP Santangelo, you let me off the hook.
What do you
mean? Slam dunked me yesterday when I said prospects they reflect hope. He goes, I want pennants. I'm paraphrasing.
Well,
now
so does
you
everyone.
Got more prospects.
To be fair to him, it sounds nice.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
It sounds nice.
Can't
yeah.
wait to see you today, FP. But I mean, explain this. I don't know what it means except this guy, Farhan, must be coming back. And if I'm a Giant fan, that sucks, Evan. At what point do you strike out and it's time for a new regime?
Well, we've been waiting for that answer, it feels like, for a couple years.
Dude.
Really, after 2022, I would say. You know, where is this thing going? What's happening? What are they going to do? And it just feels like they've expended all measures at this point, right? Because they've tried the prospect game. They've tried the development game. They've had one good season, but really on their terms. Like, okay. None of those players were ones that you expected to
Darren
pop.
Ruff.
But they worked. Yeah, they worked together. Darren Ruff is back in Korea, for all I know. But this offseason, they did spend. And that felt like the last bullet in the chamber for this regime to really try and make a difference. And 4 months into the season, you move off of one of those guys. And in fact, more trades might be coming. Again, we got a little less than 5 hours left until the Major League Baseball deadline. And a lot of people feel like the Giants are going to stand pat, all but perhaps adding, I think the report from a few of the beat writers was, you know, maybe looking for an outfielder to move Ramos to the corner. But I could see them just saying, you know what, hey, we're going to ride out this season with Derek Hill in center field. Ramos is going to platoon out there.
Not
maybe
Bonte,
we bring back
Derek
Matos.
Hill, yeah. Like,
Derek
wow.
Hill. Yeah, Elk Grove Zone. And that wouldn't surprise me. And at this point, I don't really know what it makes fans feel. And so I'm curious, at 888-957-9570.
Good call.
What do you feel right now after seeing another kind of sideways or backwards move by this front office? It feels like it's been like we've been doing this dance for some time, Goo, but it's just a different version of the tango.
No doubt about it. Well said. And I'll say this to you, Evan. So you're telling me all reports are Luciano, if he's not already been called up, and Flores and Luciano will get the DH at bats from Soler. But I'm excited to see Luciano at the dish, but not at the expense of Soler. And if I'm one of those guys, Evan, I'm riding or dying, or ladies, and I want to see the Giants qualify, I just don't understand why you pulled the plug on a guy that accepted your invitation. You had control over him for two more years. Is this year good for Soler? Hell no. I mean, but I thought he was coming here with a great chance to be the next 30 home run hitter since Barry Bonds. Just think about that. And that wasn't the case, but you pulled the plug. So I'm shocked. I feel like that's a sale. I don't think without Soler, they can't still qualify for the wild card. But the Farhan component of what this means, what are you guys doing? Do the Johnsons even care? Or did they say, you do this? Evan, I got more questions than answers. And the funny thing about this is tonight, I love ball. Battle of the Bay.
Yep.
The last time. Well,
last one in San Francisco.
Okay, there we go. But I can't wait for the lineup card to see who's batting leadoff. Like, how sad is that? You know, I know I'm weird, but I'm really like, I know you got multiple guys that can do it, but did they do Soler right? But like I said, you're a grown-ass man, Soler. You got paid. You're supposed to come hit home runs if you're batting first or ninth.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. With a lefty on the mound for the A's tonight, it's,
man,
I don't know. Maybe it's Tyler Fitzgerald is going to hit leadoff or something like that. Although apparently he's hitting like Brooks Robinson, so maybe you want him in the. It doesn't make a difference to me because, quite honestly, Jorge Soler was not brought in to be your leadoff hitter.
And there you go.
Now, I know Jung-Hoo Lee got hurt, and he's a guy that probably would be in that spot for the entirety of the year, but he's not. He got hurt. You don't have a single backup plan at that part of your lineup. Your manager doesn't feel comfortable with any other piece besides the power hitter that you bought this offseason to come in and hit 30 home runs,
you
which he has not done.
Do you think the computer's pushing that, or is that Melvin? If he had to guess.
It's probably a combination of both. Mm. But again, there doesn't seem to be an answer that everyone is aligned with. And that's the same thing at the deadline. When I saw that trade yesterday, my first thing was, huh. But every decision they make, it's like I got to go down a Wikipedia wormhole and go through my almanac to figure out why they made this choice. It shouldn't be that difficult. When you make a trade, there should not be 17 theories of why you've done it. And maybe that's the way that the Giants operate, And perhaps that's a reason why they've been stuck in the middle for the better part of a decade.
And if you allow me, okay, you're four games back. You lost a half game in the standings yesterday. But if this is about snapping right back, Evan, about next year, couldn't you have looked at Solaire like, okay, he had a bad year. A lot of us did. We'll scratch this. If they didn't make it, we'll come back next year. You'll be our third or fourth hitter. But to pull the plug on that and not have that guy with that power not be able to try to get another chance at it next year and display and maybe be that 30 or 40 home run hitter is maddening to me, because now you're lesser when it comes to power, which you still, like the A's tonight, have way more power than the Giants collectively. And you're in a position, I'm at dinner celebrating Milan's 19th birthday yesterday.
Happy
Evan,
birthday.
And I sent you the text when I got the alert, like, WTF, I still don't know what this means.
And that's what we're going to try and figure out together today. Not just necessarily the trade itself, but the deadline. Like, what does it mean to the Giants? Because, again, when we went through this yesterday, the last five deadlines under Farhan Zaidi, maybe one of them has meant something. Maybe two. But right now, this trade deadline, quite honestly, it doesn't mean much. In fact, it could mean that you're taking a step backwards. And
feels like it.
But they're not willing to go all the way backwards. And I don't think, like, you and I both believe that that shouldn't be the direction. But it does make you wonder, well, how comfortable does Farhan Zaidi feel? Like, is he sitting in a cushion like you and I?
Wow, man, that's the $1 million question. But what?
Or is he sitting on a seat
Mars
that's got the bottom cut out of it?
Or another planet and said GM, said baseball president of operations was on the hot seat, does this move signal somebody on the hot seat or somebody doing balancing their checkbook for the future, which will help them next? Like, that's what's maddening.
Well, in a way, if I'm trying to parse this thing, the only hope to me that Farhan would have left is, number one, to make the postseason. I think that pushes things down the line. But also, it could be leaning more into your younger group, because it looks like they're starting to show promise. And maybe it is a move, just quite literally, to clear a path for Marco Luciano, who, to his credit, has been tearing it up in Sacramento and has been a guy that's been promised, and everybody's been looking forward to seeing him. So maybe it is a move to shave some salary for the future, but promote this young guy. But again, that's not a clear direction. That's a twofold move. That's you got your hand in one pot and one hand in the other. You're 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I don't know what they're doing.
Wow, man.
I don't know.
How heavy is that?
That's a problem.
And I'll tell you this, it is a problem. Evan, what did I say yesterday? I just hate when we talk about Giants. It just feels like, in regard to players and talent, it's take it or leave it. There can't be multiple, no gremlins. But if you were doing your damn job, I'm talking about the scouting, Farhan, you could have had a lineup that had Luciano and Solaire in it, if you get my drift. But now, in order for Solaire to come up, for Luciano to come up, you got a Jetson, one of your best power hitters or potential power hitters. So it's a head scratcher. And I told you and Kay and the boss this in the beginning, Evan, I mean this. I don't have the power to come in here and say somebody should be fired or not. This dude, Farhan, should be gone. And the great Brian Sabian, that's joined our show a few times and the station, always said, hey, we don't do what the fans say, but the respect factor of what they're feeling, we do hear it. We do care about the fan base. Now, my whole thing is, how many calls have we taken this week, the last month? You tell me where Giant fans are pro Farhan. So to me, this is just, you're staring a reset. It's time for somebody else to come get the gig and try to work their magic. This thing is stale, but this trade last night, to me, I'm not going to say final straw. It's just, again, it's confusing, is the hardest algebra problem in the world.
But it is also what this regime has done. Like that, like these are the kind of moves that may just boggle your mind. And it's not that they're bad. It's not that they're good. It's that you don't really know what it accomplishes. Like, seriously, if I asked you, what did trading Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson to the Atlanta Braves for Tyler Matzek and Saban Sabalos, not Saban Sabalos,
yep,
What did it accomplish?
Get you closer to under the tax. I don't think they're there, but that's what that... But to me, Evan, that's the last effing thing you should be thinking about, because you weren't worried about it when you went and splurged and went to the baseball Nordstrom's and got that $200 million payroll. So with 54 games left, all of a sudden it's about the bottom line?
But it's not even about that at this point. And this is from the 925, and he or she is with you, Goo. This is an ownership move. They need to shed $16 million to get under the cap.
Man.
If anything, this is a sign they're thinking about going another route. So this is what the competitive balance tax does. Right now, he or she is right. They are currently $10 million above the tax with trading Soler and Jackson. If you are above it, well, then you lose, after repeating this season, you lose your second, your third, and I believe your fifth round picks in the upcoming MLB draft.
So apron type of problems.
Exactly. Like, there are consequences for operating in the tax. But they knew this. They knew this going into this season, which is why it doesn't make sense to me. Because you spent all this money, you knew you were going to be a repeat offender in the competitive balance tax, you knew that these consequences were possible, and were honestly probable. Because you don't make those choices unless you think on paper your team can get to the postseason, which I still think they do, but it's not looking that way. The issue is that by shedding salary, you haven't shed enough salary to accomplish the goal of getting out of the tax. Again, it is symbolic of where this franchise is, which is stuck in the middle. They are stuck between getting out of the tax and kind of keeping their team competitive. It needs to be one or the other, in my opinion. Mm. If you're going to shed salary, I don't mind. Get rid of Soler, get rid of Jackson, get rid of whoever you need to get rid of in order to get yourself out of the tax, to get yourself ready for the future. But to stay one foot in the money and one foot in the competitive place, well, you didn't accomplish either, because you're not out of the tax, and you got worse by trading one of your best hitters the last month of the season. They are just in purgatory right now, and they continue to operate in that place, and that's, to me, what has right now been defined by the deadline. It's, once again, we're stuck in the middle wondering, where are we going?
I know it's 10:21, Evan, with everything you just said, and I'm a diehard Giant fan, and I'm listening to what you just said, and you were spot on. I know it's early, but it's 5 o'clock somewhere. I'd pour a double shot. Like, that's what's scary, Evan. Like, everything you just itemized right
later
there
tonight
is fact. You do it or don't fake like you're doing it. And we had Schlereth talking about Ayuk, and he was talking about the family jewels dropping. But it's almost that same type of, like, energy. You know, you're all in or you're not. And I got to throw this to you because I misquoted Willer, and he was here to defend himself because I thought he was saying maybe there was a problem in the Giants clubhouse among players, and he wasn't saying that. But I do wonder, but if you're Matt Chapman or you're Lamont Wade Jr., Evan, I'm just keeping it real because we'll never know. You go home or you're at home and you hear this news, how would a Giant current player take that if you were Operation All In, Andre? F what's going on. All we can control is trying to get into the playoffs. We're 3.5 out. We just won 4 in a row. And we basically give Soler away for nothing that's going to help us. Do you think that could be an issue? Morale? It would bother me if I were a player. Like, what's going on?
It would be confusing. I don't know if it would be a morale killer, because I don't think players operate like that. I don't think they think, oh, well, this, you know, the front office doesn't believe in us. That's why they're trading Soler or they're getting rid of Jackson. There are some guys who are friends, but it's also a business. A lot of these guys have been traded before. Matt Chapman on line one. So I don't know if it's a morale killer, but they're probably sitting here like you, me, Ken, and Sam, wondering what do you want from us? Like, they're going to go out tonight and they're going to try to win. They're going to play hard. But when you get that notification on your phone, everybody has an initial reaction. And that initial reaction is one of, I think you said it perfectly during our pre-show meeting. It's puzzling.
What is going on here?
Do you think they make another move by 3 p.m.? Shout out Fitz.
I think they do make a move, but it's going to be another move that's like this move, which is, huh. Okay, so it's a trade deadline. Did we get better? Maybe, probably not. Did we get worse? Well, I guess I could kind of convince myself that we didn't, because, you know, maybe we added by subtraction. Like, there's no clarity. There's no clarity about their movement right now. And there hasn't been much clarity about the franchise as a whole since Farhan Zaidi took over. And that's why on the other side, I do want to get into the sound from his first press conference.
This is amazing.
Because it is night and day from then to now.
would you mind if I put this move, because there are some, a sector of Giant fans that want them to sell. If the scoreboard read on the Guru computer, the Giants sold, that this move was a sale move, this trade.
That's probably the best category to fit it under.
All right. But there's no way you could say they were adding, right?
No way.
Come on, Evan.
But this is the issue, though, because if you talk to someone in the Giants front office, I bet that there would be a few stanzas of why they did it. And they would be able to explain, you know, how it impacts this and where it goes there. And these are the things that you need to do. We're trying to thread this needle, and it's a smart move for these reasons. I don't really care if I'm a fan.
Oh, man.
I don't care about you know, breaking out your doctorate degree and explaining to me why moving Jorge Soler is not wholly a sell move.
Like, not a doctor.
I can investigate this myself. I can, but as a fan, why am I going to spend an hour trying to figure out why you moved off of Jorge Soler?
Mm.
Because he's not that big of a piece in the first place.
Wow. But Evan, if the goal was to try to make up that four games now, and you're telling me, hey, you know what, Goo? We are trying to get that third wild card. Soler, see you later. And now you get to see 54 games worth of Luciano. It doesn't add up. Like, I want to see Luciano, but not at that cost. And I do understand Soler has been struggling all season long. But we can't rob him of. He's been a lot better here lately. So that's what I was banking on. Maybe he'll heat up. Maybe they'll heat up. But all for naught. He's. I mean, wow.
Yeah. Look, I'm excited to see Marco Luciano play. But if he fails again, and he's a young guy, so odds are he's probably going to fail at some point. He's not just going to come up and be Yasiel Puig for the rest of the season.
Or Matos when he got
or Tyler Fitzgerald.
Of the week.
Yeah, remember
that. Dude, this is incredible.
I hate to break it to Fitzgerald. The month does turn in a day. But for today, we're going to be talking about, again, what the direction of this thing is. What is your interpretation of the Giants trading Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson to the Atlanta Braves? There's also a couple of guys out there that I do think could help the Giants if they were willing to go out and pay for them, if they were to acquire them in a trade, or maybe some guys that they could move off of that would help them towards their goal if they are indeed selling. All right, Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz along with Daryl the Guru Johnson. 888-957-9570 is the number. I also want to, on the other side, play the sound from Farhan Zaidi's opening initial press conference. It's a very different sounding man than the one 6 years later here standing today, in my opinion. That's what's coming up on The Game, presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. This segment was brought to you by Safeway.
Where were you when you were 17? Can you remember? I had acne.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Didn't we all, Goo? Didn't we all?
Yeah.
Some of us, every once in a while, it'll pop up.
Oxy-10.
Little pimple here and there.
Yeah.
Got to poke it. Got to get it away.
I have blackheads.
What?
Well,
is that a racial thing?
No, it's not. You know, not actually.
I know.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. No, it's funny. Okay, when we're talking about pimples, you got to pop them. You can't just let them fester, right?
Yeah, but
feels like the Giants have been a pimple for 6 years.
That's how you scar them, though. So my mom used to take the little tweezers and pop them. And then as I got older, that wasn't the way to do it. But it cleared up, man.
You got to go one way or the other, man. You got to go one way or the other. This is from the 707, the Xfinity Mobile text line. The Giants have no interest in winning. I don't know about that, but they have been a mediocre team for years, other than the fluke season. They've been fielding mid-teams for what seems like an eternity, the point being that some fans have that false hope that we could actually be a good team. The only thing that the Johnsons care about is the butts in seats, no matter what mediocre team this has been lately, and people still show up. Well, that's kind of been accomplished to this point. There have been more butts in seats. The attendance has been up. But, Goo, I would venture to guess that the reason why people have shown up this season is because there's been legitimate money invested in the team.
Right.
If they are selling and trading players like Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson to get money off their books, well, that indicates kind of just reverting back to the mean. And that means that people are not going to be in seats as much next year.
And it sounds like you're describing, without trying to do it, also frustration.
Yeah.
Of, you know, hey, we're flocking to the ballpark. Okay, we see what you did, Farhan. And our guy Danker just texted into the show on the YouTube chat saying, hey, Soler, you know, left a lot of runners on. And, hey, I'm not denying that. But the bottom line is he wasn't by himself. But at the end of the day, Evan, the fact that the cord was pulled on a guy you went out and got that was going to be your big home run hitter, he didn't last a year. That's a bad look. And I don't even feel like that's a stretch at all. That's a bad look to me for the organization, bigger than Solaire.
I agree. I think the reason why you would give him a three-year deal is because, look, Jorge Soler has played like two full seasons in his career.
World Series MVP.
Well, but even during, I'm not sure if it was that year, he might have played more than 100 games, but he's been in the league for quite some time. He has a history of missing a lot of games, which is the one thing that he's actually been able to do quite consistently this year is be on the field, and that's because they've DH'd him. Okay, so if you sign him for 3 years, this year, a little bit of a down year, but what's the reason why teams give long-term contracts? Man. Is because you don't want to operate on a year-by-year basis because you might miss on a guy 1 year and they get the better version of him next year. Blake Snell on line one. He's looking for a long-term deal, and people have been hesitant to give him a long-term deal because they don't know what they're going to get. Jorge Soler, when he's healthy, has been a productive player. Them moving off of him, it does indicate that they're looking towards 2025 to me. Unless they do something else, which, again, they have until 3 o'clock Pacific Standard Time to do so. But the reports are that they're looking for an outfielder so that they can move Ramos to the corner. An outfielder probably not named Derek Hill. But that's not going to be a big name. I'll give you the names that right now would match that criteria.
Lay it on.
Cedric Mullins for the Baltimore Orioles, who's been subpar
center
this season.
Fielder.
Yeah, he was an all-star a couple of years ago, but he's fallen out of favor. Yeah. They would be fine moving off of him. Kevin Pillar for the LA Angels. Giants fans are very familiar with him. Doesn't really do much, although he's been hitting a lot better this season.
Robbed a home run against the A's not too long ago, center field, but I remember.
He did. It was pretty nice.
Yeah.
And to some extent, Brian De La Cruz, who is a Marlins. He's played corner outfield primarily in his career, but he's played 80 games in center.
Those are lesser than Soler to me. Like, Soler excites me more than those guys.
I don't know if he does for me, but they don't move the needle whatsoever.
Right.
And if you bring those players in, again, it's what you kind of brought up before the show, Gu. It's just this maintaining this status quo of mediocrity. Mm. It doesn't move one way or the other. We just saw the Toronto Blue Jays sell most of their relevant players. They got 11 prospects in return. The Tampa Bay Rays are out of it this year in the AL East. I think they've gotten 16 prospects in return for a bevy of players, and they're looking to still move a couple of other ones. Those are teams that have decided that their season is done, even though they are technically within striking distance. Now, not as much as the Giants, but they've decided to look ahead. Okay, so that's the way we go. It's a seller's market. The Giants are neither right now. And the last five trade deadlines, they have been neither buyers nor sellers for, I would identify as, three of the five, including the last two. They haven't done anything.
Yeah, and it goes back to, and you brought that up yesterday, I feel like Farhan was in a different place in regard to pressure. There was no pressure. He was the man. This was his baby. He was going to get it fixed and turn an ugly portrait into Picasso. And that's not happened. And I saw Lucas at the coffee machine during the break, and he was like, well, Goo, you got to wait till three. You're right, because you just touched on it. What if they make a move and that bat is bigger than Soler? But, Evan, just, I hope I'm wrong. I highly doubt that. And now I feel like, okay, if the fans or the people, the writers, are correct, and there is, in fact, a lot of pressure on Farhan, you don't trade a guy that can hit you 35 or has hit 38 home runs in his career the last third of the season. That doesn't match. And that's why this sound we're about to play, Evan, if we were doing a report card on Farhan, he would get an F in everything he said contrasted to what he's done, which has been diddly squat.
Well, I don't know if I'd give him Fs in everything, but I certainly wouldn't give him anything better than just kind of a passing grade. You know,
well, F is for fired.
It's also for Farhan.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? We don't know if that happens. I just feel like he's in a safe place. That deal last night to me just, it's like a big billboard in New York City, Manhattan, saying, I am not going anywhere. Aha. Because a lot of Giant fans I've talked to and hear and call the show and look at it on social media, they want him out. And I feel like, Evan, if you look at his tenure, that's not even, that wouldn't be, like, it constitutes a guy getting replaced.
Now, they could fire him at the end of the season, but he just got a contract extension, and I feel like a lot of people are more afraid of Farhan being here next year than anything else right now,
man,
surrounding the Giants organization. But again, to your point, you still have until 3 o'clock in order to get some things done. But let's take a trip down memory lane.
Here we go.
How about that? Because I don't know about you, Gu. I wasn't here in the Bay Area when Farhan Zaidi was hired as president of baseball operations, but I was aware and worked with the Dodgers, had previous ties to the Oakland Athletics, appeared to be a pretty smart guy. And he had some comments in his opening press conference that just, to me, appear very and sound very different than the actual actions of the guy. Okay. Now evaluating 6 years later. So let's just go down the list. This is on playing meaningful baseball.
You know, I've had the good fortune of being in the playoffs for a few years now. And, you know, one thing that stood out to me, the thing that I appreciate most about that stretch is just playing meaningful baseball day in, day out, game in, game out, how energizing that is for the fans and for the players. You know, kind of playing out the string in a season where you're totally out of the playoff race. You know, it takes its toll on the fans, the players, the entire organization. So, you know, our goal is to play meaningful baseball as deep into the season and, you know, as soon as we can.
That sounds good, right? You want to play meaningful baseball?
Oh, watch out now.
If I had to, I don't know, present a percentage out of the whole pie, like what percentage of games would you say have been meaningful under Farhan Zaidi?
All right, so I got to include the 107.
Sure.
That series loss to the Dodgers. So, Evan, I'm going to go 65.
65% of games in 6 years.
Yep.
Ooh. I see. I would put that total closer, much closer to 50, if not below 50.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the Giants' games that they've played this during these last 6 years, I don't think have been very meaningful. Like, let's take last year for an example. At this time, last year at the deadline, they were either 8 games or 9 games above 500.
Think about that, where they'd be today.
Well, or even just focusing on that season. They traded for A.J. Pollock. That doesn't scream meaningful baseball to me. That means we think we're good enough, you know, but we don't want to set ourselves too far back and, you know, we're also focused on the future. No, no, no. It's interesting to me now that there appears to be more movement or more aggressive movement one way or another this season in what could be Zaidi's last year as president, as opposed to last year in which you were actually threatening for a postseason position. Like, they were in the play. They were a wild card team at this point last year. They are out of the wild card and behind 4 teams right now for the wild card this year. And yet there seems to be more urgency. I don't know why there hasn't been urgency, why they haven't operated with urgency in prior years when they've been in better positions than they have now.
Well, you know what? I think a lot of it is what he came here with, is I'm the smartest guy in the room, and you're right. A lot of the platoon system in that 107 year, which is now, you know, getting older by the day, Evan, maybe they felt like they didn't need that Henry Aaron. The way they were doing it, Frank Sinatra, I'm going to do it my way. And they did it. They were successful. But at the end of the day, you got nothing from it. So as far as urgency, that went down the drain with yesterday's trade. The message you sent to your fan base, as close as you were, that Soler is no longer needed on this team. We'll get something back. Two fellas that aren't going to have an impact at all. And quite frankly, if a Giant fan wants to pick up the phone and call us, Evan, and say they feel, you know, they're offended by that move, I get it. But shame on me for thinking they would at least stand pat or add.
888-957-9570 is the number. We're just trying to figure this thing out right now. We're trying to figure out where the Giants stand at the trade deadline after moving Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson. You know, what did the move say to you? What did it scream to you? Did it move the needle whatsoever? I don't even know if fans, like, let's say you are attached to Jorge Soler, or you've been attached to watching him hit the last month, because that's really the only time that he's been productive. I just think because of the carousel that we've been on with this front office for a long time, I don't know how many people felt anything when they saw that trade.
Mm.
And that's not where you want to be.
So you feel like the towel was already thrown in from a lot of fans.
Yeah, I think it's
been... Or he's just not good enough to change our, like, we still can make it with or without him. the way he was actually playing, but he was eating up.
If you can find a replacement for him, but that's the only reason that you would trade him, unless it is indeed to move salary for next year. But that wouldn't make me, that wouldn't breed any confidence as a fan, because I'm not thinking about next year. You know, you spent so much money this offseason for this season.
And that's what was so offensive. I think Farhan's thinking about next year because he's not going to get ran. And that would bother me as a Giant fan, man.
Maybe there's a direction from ownership that we needed to clear, I think, moving towards next season, you know, close to $20 million with, I guess, Luke Jackson had a buyout anyways, so he'd be off the books. But, you know, so, Larry, you get off of close to, I think, close to $30 million. A little bit less over the next two seasons. You know, you relieve yourself of that money. But again, it wasn't supposed to be about money this year.
Man.
You spent willy-nilly. You went after Otani. You went after Judge two off seasons ago. You've gone after Correa. You've been willing to spend money. And you finally did. And you finally got a couple players that were supposed to be decent that took that money, that were willing to commit to your franchise. And one of them, you just sent back to the A.
Wow, man. You know what, Evan? I just had this thought. You tell me if I'm – and Fitzgerald, he's in a zone right now, and hopefully he's the future shortstop for the Giants. But let me tell you who's having a pretty good season in Minnesota, Carlos Correa. I do wonder had, you know, the medicals not jumped off, and let's just say he came in and he was serviceable, solid. You know, what would the Giants look like now? And that's woulda, coulda, shoulda. We'll never know, Goo, but I do wonder – man, if they could have solidified that position after Crawford, what would they look like now?
At the shortstop position?
Yeah. Or overall, just him in the order. I don't know where you'd bat him, second, third, four. I don't know. But Soler batting first, there's no telling. He could have been in the four hole with whatever comes out through the computer or powers to be.
Yeah, I mean, Correa is certainly a middle of the order bat.
I'm watching
especially
a play
like, team.
Man, he would, man.
Well, Minnesota's a game out of the division, yeah, I believe. Yeah. Or they're within striking distance
just saying,
of Cleveland.
Yeah.
No, I mean.
I'm looking at everything, Evan. That's all. Everything under Farhan.
But that's part of it, too, is you have to look at everything because there's not really one thing that appears clear. Again, like neither of us thought that Jorge Soler was going to get traded. And it wasn't necessarily
Baggerly
because he was
piece,
so good.
I got a paraphrasing, like he was the one guy that you thought was untouchable. You know?
Not untouchable, but untradeable.
Untradeable,
yeah. But nobody would take him. And so maybe that's another part, too. It's around the league, a lot of people, I think, are probably viewing Jorge Soler as dead weight. And so the Giants found one team that would take him and immediately took their chance to pounce. To get off of him.
Man.
Because he's worth more to Atlanta than he is to San Francisco. And that's not the type of confidence that I would feel good about if I'm a future free agent signing with the San Francisco Giants outside of money. You know, they just paid this guy, which $42 million is not insignificant, but it's not one of the big boy deals that you're going to see. Obviously, Shohei Ohtani's making $700 million or whatever. But it's not an insignificant amount of money. If you're a free agent, you're saying, well, why did they get him in the first place? Like, why would I go there?
So somebody should have to answer that.
There's also a signal that's being sent by that, which is, you know, these are pieces. And if the pieces don't work, then we need to reshuffle the deck. And they have reshuffled the deck, it feels like, multiple times throughout the last two or three seasons. And the deck is still coming up with a three of a kind at best. Like, yeah. you're not hitting any flushes. You don't find any straights on this roster.
And the worst part is, if by 3 o'clock, Evan, they don't move Snell, you and I sparred. I've been watching Cobra Kai season six on Netflix.
They're already on season six.
Dude, it's
incredible.
My God. But Evan, I got to tell you, I know it's a random, but why would Snell want to come back here? And I know you were like, Goo, he ain't going to get that money that he sought from any other place. But if the Giants are where you come not to make the playoffs, look at the last 10 years, why would Snell have any just inkling of wanting to come back to this? Evan, I think the way he's pitching, and you're right, his first half, hey, it was a disaster. But dude is looking like the former or current Cy Young winner from last year. Okay, maybe he doesn't get that big boohoo contract that he's looking for, but something to get him out of here shouldn't be too hard. That's why I'm like, this thing could get ugly fast. If he says, you know what? Hey, San Francisco, love you, but I'm out of here.
For who?
No, if he just walks and after the end of the season, Snell.
Well, I don't think Snell's going anywhere personally.
Why would he want to stay?
Because there's $30 million waiting for him on the other side.
Did you think, no, the Yankees or no other team, the Mets, like he's pitching to where the Phillies, to where that wouldn't be attractive?
Well, right now he's pitching like a $30 million pitcher, but he hasn't been a $30 million pitcher this entire season. And baseball is 162. So, you know, Snell could test free agency. And I think he will, like, they'll put out feelers. The way that Snell's probably going to do things this offseason, or the way that Boris does things, is he's going to try and get the most money possible from whoever. I think the most money that he will get in a single year would be with the Giants.
Now, why would the Giants want that if
they don't have a choice?
He will opt in. You're correct.
He has all the cards.
I think he's going to opt out, Evan.
I think he would be inclined to stay because I also think that the Giants could probably convince him that next year is going to be different, even if it's not.
But how, if I just saw you pull the plug on Soler in not even a full season? Like, how does that match? We might be worse next year. Like, who's looking at this Giant team like it's going to get better with moves like just with what transpired yesterday?
Well, I mean, yeah, like every player wants to win, but at the same time, it is about the money. Nah. I don't know. For Snell, I just also think that no one is going to pony up with a big boy unless he, I don't know. I mean, he's got a 0.75 ERA in his last four starts. If he does that the next 2 months.
Got about six starts left, you think, would you? Oh, hopefully more if they made the playoffs, but somewhere.
Yeah, like six or seven starts maybe. Right. But
let's
just say
he's fit, just phenomenal.
And he probably will be. I think his history says that he will be phenomenal. But he also couldn't get more than a 2-year, what was it, $62 million deal with the Giants with an opt-in the year after he won the Cy Young. He wasn't willing to go out and get a big dollar deal or take someone's big dollar deal the year after he was the best pitcher in the National League. So I don't necessarily know why he would all of a sudden be okay with testing free agency this offseason when he hasn't had nearly as good of a year.
In fact, let me read this to you for YouTube chat, Giants for Life, in all caps, Evan. Is this not what all of you have been clamoring for since last year? We are finally getting the youth movement, and now that's a problem because he traded Soler. Give me a break. You didn't pay for the youth movement. You went the big boy bopper route. And that's why this payroll is what it is, Evan. So you could have, Giants for Life, if you're listening, and you obviously are, I mean, you didn't have to go spend if it was about the youth movement. And I think if the Giants were a playoff team, people would understand it because you feel like the youngsters are gaining experience and they'll be ready in a year or two. But to go do a 180 and spend and have one of the most expensive payrolls in baseball, and this is what you get two games under with 54 left, not idea.
No, not at all. And in fact, we actually do have a trade that just came in from the Baltimore Orioles, not with the Giants. Yeah, we're going to be monitoring you all day here, and we'll be trade deadline day on 95.7 The Game up until 3 p.m. Pacific Standard. The Giants have a chance to make some moves, but the Baltimore Orioles are finalizing a deal to acquire left-hander Trevor Rogers. He's a closer for the Miami Marlins. Sources tell ESPN infielder Connor Norby, who's the number 5 prospect in the Orioles system, and one other player are headed to Miami in the trade. So that's from Jeff Passan of ESPN. So teams are making moves, and prospects are being sent. And that's where I think a lot of people are wondering whether or not Snell is going to be moved, because the Astros just gave up two top 5 prospects yesterday to acquire Yusei Kikuchi, who's a serviceable southpaw, but he's not Blake Snell. Mm. I am wondering why the Giants would be so reluctant in a seller's market to not consider getting off of Blake Snell if he could get you a haul like that. It makes you wonder.
No, it does. And that's why yesterday we thought like he could be a possibility. But the guy that got traded is one that I don't think a lot of Giant fans had on their sheet as an option or a candidate to be traded. So, again, the Snell future doesn't match what I deem the Giant future in regard to what direction they're going. I think this thing is going to get worse before it gets better. But what are you going to say? We got Webb, and we're paying $30 million to Snell, but he's not pitching meaningful games in October or even getting a chance? Like, that doesn't match to me. But like you said, he controls it. But I'm telling you, Evan, if they don't win, or even let's just say they they kind of flame out and are not even close for the sixth wild card. And you said $30 million, Goo, but why would he want to stay here?
Is it because the Giants are the best at everything? That's what Farhan Zaidi had to say during his opening press conference.
You know, when you're a franchise like the San Francisco Giants and you're at that stature, your goal should be to be the best at everything. It shouldn't be a choice of analytics or scouting or something else. So again, I think, you know, ideally what we have is a special level of diligence, not just with some of the big picture moves that we've touched on already today, but making sure we don't leave any stone unturned in, you know, picking up players, you know, that might not make headline news when we acquire them, but wind up being really impactful players for this organization.
Big picture moves. Now, I don't know if Jorge Soler is the biggest player that was out there, but when you give someone a three-year deal, I assume you're looking at the big picture. That big picture changed in 4 months in regards to Soler. Maybe not with the Giants themselves, but that's Farhan Zaidi talking in his opening press conference about big picture moves, and the Giants should be the best at everything. I'll just throw this out there at 888-957-9570. What have they been the best at in 6 years?
Causing mass confusion.
That's right.
And that's what it is right now. Good. Operation Mass Confusion.
Well, I see everybody texting in on the Xfinity Mobile text line. Also, folks calling in. A reminder that all guests here at 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? We're trying to get to the bottom of the direction right now, and it doesn't appear to be much, but we're trying to wrap our minds around what the Jorge Soler trade means, what the direction is at the deadline later today. Just about 4 hours left between now and the end of the deadline. Will the Giants make a move? If they do make a move, is it going to matter? What do you want to see today? What do you hope to hear from Farhan when he eventually has to speak and talk about these deadline choices that they are or aren't making? 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinman, or Daryl the Guru Johnson. Hey, join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th, for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. You can get on the action by going to 957thegame.com. That's 957thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ATCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.